Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome y'all this morning to the service. Don't really have many announcements this morning, but would like to let everybody know that on Thursday, June 25th, Robbie and them had their twins. We've got Waylon Robert. He was 4 pounds, 13 ounces, 18 inches long. And the other one's Weston Randy. He was 4 pounds, 15 ounces, and 18 and a half inches long. So hopefully they get to come home today. So now we'll do the birthdays. Happy birthday this week to Jenny Hamilton, Rex Everhart, Tina Heitman, Jay Proctor, Keegan Watkins. Happy anniversary to Paul and Caroline Conrad, Max and Libby Carrick. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in your hearts may your peace, which pass all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So we were going to honor the high school graduates today, but Logan was not able to be here. So we did have this that we just wanted to do in remembrance of Lauren. And so it's just a blanket that has Lauren Suzanne Cecil, class of 2020. And Kara actually embroidered that for you. But anyway, we just wanted to present this in remembrance of Lauren.
Good morning. No matter where we are, we know that God's house is always open to us, whether it's in a sanctuary, whether it's in the car, or whether it's at home. So welcome to everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 89. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of Romans. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who has sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to start this a little bit with the children's sermon, because it's going to lead a little bit into here. So we need to think about a song that we used to sing. And I know Debbie has sang this with kids for years, All God's Creatures. I didn't realize that that song has 11 verses. 11 verses and a chorus. But it's basically the invitation that God gives us, the welcome. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out on the telephone wire, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they've got. So, for our youth, for our children, you're welcomed. You're loved. You're cared for. God has a place for you. We have a place in our congregation for you, and we love you. That's God's message. Now for the larger children. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's gospel is short and sweet, straight to the point. Three verses. Debbie got to say all the long verses today. But we have three verses. The message is quite simple. It's about welcoming and receiving, giving and receiving. Pretty simple. I probably don't need to go on. I could just stop right now. But I'm a teacher. I can't do that. So I have to hear myself talk. But the message is simple, yet it's very complex in our lives. In verse 40, the theme of verse 40 is welcoming others. Now, Jesus, at this point, has been instructing the disciples. All through Lent, we heard Jesus instructing the disciples, teaching them, preparing them, and getting them ready. Last week, in weeks prior, Jesus gave them some news that might have been pretty scary. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be reviled. You're going to be spit upon. Sure, that's what I want to go into. That's the job I want. But these disciples did it. This week, I listened to Bishop Smith's message about welcome signs. Almost all churches have signs of welcome somewhere, have signs of welcome. Well, welcome for us in hospitality is generally, when do we eat? We have fellowship. We have food and fellowship. That's hospitality. But hospitality is only one part of welcoming. His sermon went into a great detail about injustice in the world and about what's going on since the death of George Floyd and a few others. A few years ago, the United Methodist Church had a commercial, and it was about welcoming and not welcoming people. And there were people sitting in the pews, and all of a sudden it came up, well, you know, this person's homosexual, and it was an ejector seat, and it ejected them out of the building. Or this person is Hispanic. Boom, there they go. Ejected them for various reasons. And then the message of that commercial is, that's not the way church should be. And that was part of Bishop Smith's message. Do we truly heed that call of that welcome sign? When people come into our building or into our community, do we welcome them, no questions asked, as they are, like Jesus accepts us? Or do we judge them by the clothes they wear, by the car they drive, by the home they live in? That finger's pointing back here. We're human beings. We judge. So sometimes our hospitality is more of a hospitality where we're patting ourselves on the back. The people we see every week, every Sunday, that's who we welcome. It's not the people that really need the seeds of faith that we can provide for them. So, who do we discriminate against? Why do we discriminate? I'm sure all of you have watched videos of the protests. Some people comment quite silly comments that are like, well, they're not wearing masks, and they're in a large group. You missed the point. If you're worried about them wearing a mask versus why they're out there protesting, you don't get it. There's injustice in this world. That's not welcoming. But we're human. We have a chance that we could change things. We don't have to join Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, but we can join to end injustice. We can join together to accept, like Jesus, who ate with tax collectors and sinners. And for some of our politicians, I'm sure they would never agree that they are either one of those. They would be too good for that. So it's risk versus reward. We can welcome someone not knowing a whole lot about them. There's a risk factor there. Let's think about it. When our congregation is able to meet, as soon as the service begins, what do we do to all the doors? We lock them. Out of safety, out of fear, because we know bad things happen. Now that's a little drastic example because we don't have too many people that, too many guests that show up at 10:45 or 11 o'clock knocking on the door. We've got cameras where we can see. So we want to protect ourselves. But guys, I don't see much diversity in this room. The most segregated hour in American history is generally 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock Sunday morning. For us, 10:30 to 11:30. So our viewpoint's quite different. I've never been a slave. I've never been discriminated against because of the color of my skin. I've never been discriminated against because of my gender. Never been discriminated against because I have blue eyes. Okay? I can't understand, I can't feel what people that have gone through that. I can't feel water hoses being sprayed upon me and dogs attacking me as I march for equality and justice. But there's also, along with that risk, there's a great reward. People come into our lives, we don't know much about them. They become great friends. They may become members of our church and community. There's a reward. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a place in the choir. We need to come out of our comfort zone. We need to take more of those risks. Yeah, we might get burned every once in a while. We might get hurt. But in the end, why are we disciples of Christ? Is it to sit on our hands? We have great potential. And I think I've mentioned this before. Potential is like your rear end. The more you sit on it, the more it grows. We want to use that potential. We don't want it to grow and just sit there unused. Even a cup of cold water to these little ones. And Jesus was talking about the disciples. The disciples were the little ones. If someone were just to offer them a cup of cold water, that there would be a reward for them. Small things. We don't have to jump in front of a bus to save somebody. Okay? We don't have to be heroic. We don't have to be superheroes. We can do those little things. Our congregation does a lot of little things. Our prayer shawl ministry. I would gather that we're probably a couple of thousand into that. I had it totaled up a few years ago, and then I stopped counting. Our youth groups. Gavin and Gracie doing a lemonade stand, selling tomatoes for our backpack ministry. Our scholarship program. Our men's and women's groups and the work that they do. It's truly a blessing to walk down the ramp and see the pictures. Of the ladies and the young ladies that are being mentored and provided for with the baby showers. And the shower is just two parts of it. There's mentoring going along. We're providing them someone to listen, someone to care for them. Little things that we can do. Not everybody has the same gift or talent, but everybody has the same opportunity to share those gifts and talents with others. So our actions not always heroic, mostly small things that we don't think that much about, but we still need to continue believing that we make a difference and we can make more of a difference we can help bring some of that justice to the world. We can help bring more equality, more toleration, more of God's love, so that words like discrimination, racism, can go away. But that's up to us. Social media and communication media, I think if we turn it down or turn it off, things might get better. But even so, they serve an important purpose, to give us information so that we can move forth. We're still dealing with COVID-19. Small gatherings. And the social media protest and angst against our governor right now is unbelievable. Whether you agree or disagree, you have to look at the facts and the numbers. States that have opened way too quickly are closing back down. So they're in reverse. It's hard for me to put a mask on. I mean, I'm already wearing my Halloween outfit. But it's hard for me to put a mask on at school. Okay? I can't imagine what it's going to be like if we're back in the fall and every kid has to have a mask on. It's like, okay, how do you identify the kid that did that? They were wearing a mask. Might be a great time for us to all get together and have the same mask on, go in and rob a bank. How are they going to figure it out if everybody's got the same mask on? But the mask serves a purpose, whether you agree with it or whether you disagree. As to its effectiveness, you don't have to have a mask that's going to suffocate you. You don't have to go get cellophane or something like that, or tinfoil that you probably aren't going to be very comfortable with. But in general, to help protect others, parents, grandparents, even. But again, there's the protest, the disagreements. We have to come together. We have to do what's best for each other. So as we go about our lives this week, whether it be a simple or complex task, let's welcome, receive, and share with others the ministry of Jesus Christ through the church, and allow everybody a place in the choir. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. God of compassion, encourage our relationships with our siblings in Christ. Bless our conversations. Shape our shared future and give us hearts eager to join in a festal shout of praise. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of abundance, you make your creation thrive and grow to provide all that we need. Inspire us to care for our environment and be attuned where the earth is crying out. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities, judges, and politicians to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God. God of care, accompany all who are in deepest need. Comfort those who are sick, lonely, or abandoned. Especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, the family of Dwight Everhart, Steve, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Brian, Bill, Rex, Paul, Robert, Gary, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Eva Ray, David, Pauline, Banks, Houston, Bobby, Jeff, Chris, Curtis, and anyone that we name before you now. Renew the spirits of all who call upon you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of community, we give thanks for this congregation. Give us passion to embrace your mission and the vision to recognize where you're leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with each other. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of love, your people seek fairness and justice. No matter our race, gender, age, or political views, we ask that you grant us the wisdom and ability to move forward and to welcome you in thought, word, and deed. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us share a sign of peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you. Peace. O God, you never forsake those who hope in you. Grant that we may live in the hope you have given us by your word as an anchor of our souls, sure and steadfast to preserve us unshaken and secure in all the storms of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who also taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. And now let us recite our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Thank you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.